Part of an Oscars party and Oscars event that we're putting together there for the ladies. And we have a lot of men coming too and participating with us too, that are really helping and embracing women, because again, what the Women Who Dare Council is all about, it's again, women in leadership who are embracing change, who are willing to put themselves out there, make an impact, make a difference, embrace equality for everyone. We are embracing it. And also, and what we say all the time is, so we can be unstoppable together.
Absolutely. There's so much. I had about 16 questions.
I could see it. I when you were talking.
But unfortunately.
But wait, I have to say one thing before Winona starts talking. I want to say, everyone out there knows I've had bronchitis like all these times. So I'm
not. I know, I get so, I'm so excited, and I'm just so passionate about the Women Who Dare Council, so I am full of answers, so if you have questions, go.
No, I don't have questions, trust me. I'm glad you have answers.
I didn't have questions quite yet. I was going to say something. I feel bad for the both of you, see? I can do something besides be narcissistic.
What?
You're being selfless. There's my selflessness. So, let's start with the biggest thing in the room. You said documentary. What's your documentary going to be?
The documentary is about women and why Women Who Dare. So what the documentary, so we're following these women, and we're learning about these women, where they came from, what they did. I interviewed 50 women across the country, basically asking them the same questions. And the questions are, where did they come from? What did they do? What obstacles did they overcome to get to where they are? Every single woman I spoke to had something, a challenge that they overcame. And the one thing that was a revelation to me, because I had my own stuff too. I mean, we all have stuff that we've gone through. And the one revelation to me was that every woman that I spoke to that is in power all worked hard, very hard to get where they're at today. And they're the ones that are saying, I did it, I've done it, and they earn every right to be there and sitting there, whether it's in CEO positions in Fortune 100 corporations, or they have their own businesses. I had one say to me, she goes, no one has ever asked me this question. She said, but I could honestly say I came from the other side of the tracks. And today she owns 5 businesses, and she's an attorney that's what she went after initially, but then she started owning all of these businesses. And all but one, at that point, could really say that she didn't really come, she came from a middle class family. But since then, her husband died. She's now a single mother of 5 kids, 5 little ones, and she's still running a corporation. And I spoke to her recently, and her story is now changed. She's like, I have to work 5 times as hard because I have to take care of my kids. I still want to run a business, run an organization. And with her biggest challenge is she doesn't feel, even when her husband was alive, she didn't feel that there was enough of her to go around serving everybody else and making everybody else happy around her. And that's the one thing that we do as women. We always want to make everybody happy around us. But, there's different ways of looking at that, because we need to take care of ourselves as much as we're taking care of other people. So that was a revelation for me. So the documentary comes full circle, where then I'm interviewing groups of women together, and we're having a lot of these conversations, these educational conversations. And then the biggest question that I ask everyone, and even in my own podcast now, is, what makes you a woman who dares? Sharing that story with other women allows other women, and giving other women permission to say, yeah, you know what? You are right. That was me. And there's so much going on right now. And so I'm also reading my next book, and my next book is going to be called The Woman Who Dare, and I'm going to be sharing my story. But I'm not sharing it as a victim. I'm sharing it where this is how we can be unstoppable together, and we can help each other and lift each other to grow and go to that next level in our career and what it is that we want to be doing.
Oh, I have a question. What do you think is going to help women stop asking for permission and just go after what they
want? That's a really good good question. And that is one of the biggest challenges I think that women have that holds them back is because they're waiting for that permission. Whether it be the discrepancy in salaries, it's because women don't ask for a pay increase. They just take what they're given and say, okay. As women, we were brought up to this is all you are allowed. This is what you earn. This is what you get of not asking questions. Now, I come from that generation of you don't ask questions. You just do what you're told and keep moving forward. Okay. Now I know, like my daughter, you know, I didn't raise her that way, and she's more the millennial generation, and you know, with you ladies as well, and not as afraid to ask for what she wants. The biggest thing around that is education, continuing to have those conversations, and bringing men to the table as well to say, ladies, it is okay to ask. You know, it's okay. Sometimes we can't give it, but if we see that there's an equal, that we see that there's a balance, and that's where we talk about embracing the gender equality. If we can embrace that all across the room, because again, these conversations aren't just happening with women, because then they're only a one-sided conversation. We need to have men involved with these conversations as well. And then that's when we're going to start seeing where women are not going to be afraid to say, you know, I would like more. And they're not going to be afraid to put their hand out. And, you know, they're working for it. And a lot of women, I mean, I sat in a CEO position, and we get what's called that imposter syndrome that we hear so many people talking about. But it is true. Again, I sat in a CEO position, and I used to think, how did I get here? They hired me to be the CEO. Like, what, you know, did I say truthful stories to get here? But even for me, for my education, I didn't have my education the traditional way. Again, my father at that point said, no, my daughter doesn't go to school. I mean, education is out of the question. So I started trying to do it myself, didn't work. I ended up getting married, having my babies. I went back to school again. I finally finishing an associate's degree. And I only finished with a double master's degree about 5 years ago. For my entire career, I had to get that degree. And one of the things after Girl Scouts that was devastating to me was that I didn't have my degree 11 years ago. I was not hired back on when the new organization did their realignment, and I was told it was because I didn't have all of these fancy letters after my name. So to me, education is extremely, extremely important. However, you don't have to have all of these fancy letters after your name to be out there and doing good.
I want to say, first of all, I think your story is amazing, and I hear it a lot because we are women, we interview other women.
Right.
So we hear this a lot about the permission mm-hmm. and going out there. And I'm going to be a little narcissistic, I promise. I only do 3 sentences about me. Here we go. This is one, and it may have an and, a but, a song, or maybe a run on. You know, we'll like 9 just get an A, B, and anyway. When you were saying you came from the generation where you had to ask for permission, I was thinking about my experience with my mother. She was in the 50s. She was born in the 50s.
Okay.
Immediately she has to ask permission, but she was the one who was just like, she quit her job one day and went and made a business, and it's still running. It's been running for 31 years.
Good for her.
I think around 16 was the first time I was in charge of like half of a business. So I've always been on the CEO or COO level. I've never come down from that level. So I was like, wow, I'm here. And I'm like, what do you mean you were here? Weren't you born there?
That's the
only
cool point about.
So I'm hoping that one day that we can all get to this point where when we get there, we're just like, yeah, it's fine. Because I see women who work that positions and
right.
I see them, and they're like, but they chose me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, sweetie, you laid
yes.
5 times harder than
and that is definitely our mindset. And I always joke that I was an entrepreneur before I knew what an entrepreneur was, because I was raised by my grandmother. I remember 8 years old having my bike with my little basket on it, riding around the neighborhood, shopping for the neighbors, cleaning houses, babysitting. I was ironing men's shirts. That was like, you know, when we knew how to do that. I was doing that so I could help pay the rent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I didn't question, this was a job or a business, but I mean, I managed it. I knew who my customers were. I kept my own, books. Yeah. And, my grandmother died right before my 16th birthday. And for me, it was a flip around because I tried to go home and live with my family and didn't work out very well. So I couch surfed all through high school. And so, I was always working. And, I knew nothing different than to always work. But yeah, put myself through college and then to get into a CEO position years ago without my college degree. So that's where, the insecurity came in for me, thinking I don't have a degree, but yeah, they hired me because of I have a very strong business background. Well, I learned that business background by the streets, the School of Hard Knocks is where I learned it from.
We believe that. Never.
Well, you would say,
I'm finishing my bachelor, my business degree as well, just like now.
Okay. Okay.
Well, you were saying that you were ironing and doing all that.
Yeah.
I was like, I've been there. I've done it all. I've done
yeah.
it just to make ends meet, just to do what needs to be done. And it's
right.
really, really sad because we're actually at the end of our.
Oh, I had two questions.
No, we are over time. Okay. We are actually at the end of our. Interview, but she will come back for a part two if she's feeling better. So where can people find you on the internet?
Well, you can find Woman Who Dare just at womanwhodare.com, C-O-M. And my company, my business is the Fife Group, and it's P-H-E-I-F-F. You could spell it any way you want. It'll come up on the internet. And just look for the Fife Group, and that's where you'll find all of my speaking information about our Leadership Academy, and then the podcast. I have two podcasts. I have one Up or Out, because in corporate, you're either going up or out. And then, of course, Woman Who Dare. We have its own podcast working now as well. So, again, womanwhodare.com, upperout.com, or fifegroup.com.
Thank you so very much for coming on. We have learned so much from you and feel like we're kindred spirits now, I think. But as always, you guys, you can find everything that your ladies are doing on andresource.com. And, because Winona, she doesn't like me to wrap up. She has something to say.
Of course, the narcissist. I just want to remind you guys, the Inspirational Women in Literature, Media, and Journalism conference tickets are now on sale on our website, and that you can come in person or virtually, so please grab those
virtually
tickets.
Means streaming, you guys.
Yeah, it means streaming. Just sit at home with your cup of coffee in your pajamas and watch the rest of us who got dressed and had to go to California to present this lovely conference for you. But either way, go to our website and get the ticket.
Okay. You guys, so as always, just remember that wisdom is all about it.
You're open to finding it and accepting it. So peace and love, you guys, from Winona with the two undone nails.
And Jade. Bye-bye.